Welcome to the Conscious Fire Culture. We give you direct access to healers, practitioners, and shamans as we explore alternative medicine for wildland firefighters. The mission is to break the stigma of mental health in wildland fire and lower the suicide rates. Our intention is to guide you through a transformation that creates a ripple effect in our community. Welcome, I'm so excited you've made it. Alright, check this out. Mountain Mind Tricks and the Wildland Wellness Foundation are coming together for this amazing collaboration. This is going to be the most powerful thing to come to the wildland fire community in a long time, I think. And that is, you know, master plant ceremonies mixed with holistic medicine, with acupuncture, chiropractors, the breakthrough session, all these things coming into one to support you, the wildland firefighter, to help you regain your mental health, your physical health, and get back to peak performance as soon as possible. Because when we work with master plants and essential oils and acupuncture and chiropractic and mental emotional release, when we put all these together, it is a powerful transformational experience that really, it's beyond words. Because once you're touched by the divine, once you're in touch with that healing energy of the universe, with that innate power for you to heal yourself, there's no stopping it. It's like a runaway train. It's like you're gonna start healing. You're gonna have a transformation that has this ripple effect that goes beyond just you and your family, but to your crew, to your fire station, to your, you know, your workstation, to your forest, to your region, to the community. And really what we want to do is give you the most amazing ceremonial experience and back that up with the integration. How do you take those experiences and come back to 3D reality and implement them? Implement those lessons, those realizations that are so deep and profound that your entire life changes. How do you integrate those? You know, one of my great mentors once told me, it's like you get a puzzle and all the pieces are all spread out, but then you get to start putting that puzzle back together into a new way, a new possibility, a new way of being. And that's what the foundation is working on. You know, the first retreat is the end of January of 2022. And if that's interesting to you, I want you to go to the wildlandwellnessfoundation.com. Check that out. And just schedule a call with Melissa and see if it's a good fit. Again, that's wildlandwellnessfoundation.com. The foundation of Mountain Mind Tricks is the breakthrough sessions for wildland firefighters. And it's one of the most rewarding things I've ever done in my entire life, is to guide somebody through an awakening experience, remembering that they have the power to heal and giving them the tools to release the anger, sadness, fear, hurt, and guilt from their past, and to truly release it, to let it go. And when I see these transformations in my clients, it's like night and day. There's before the breakthrough session, and then there's after. And there's just so many times that their transformation touches me that I cry. Like, it's so powerful and joyful to see that transformation inside them. And there's so many modalities out there. There is acupuncture and traditional therapy and plant medicine. But I love the breakthrough session. I think it's an amazing adjunct to all these other things, or even Western medicine. And the breakthrough session is so important to me because it's what changed my life. It's what allowed me to completely let go of my anxiety and to move forward and to become the healer that I am today, to start my own company, Mountain Mind Tricks. Like, that's because of the breakthrough session. Without that, there wouldn't be any of this. And so if you're interested in a breakthrough session to really overcome the blocks in your life, to let it all go, to really step into your light and be who you know you could be, if you want that to happen for you, just go to mountainmindtricks.com, go ahead and click that button, alternative mental health, scroll through there. If it looks like something you want, let's schedule a discovery session. Let's just chat about it. Let's have a talk to make sure it's a good fit. So again, go to mountainmindtricks.com and click the alternative mental health button. Welcome to the podcast, everybody. I'm so excited to have Dani Shedden here from Close the Gap Wellness. You know, she's an AD wildland firefighter, but a mental health counselor that's also in fire. So it's so exciting to have her here, and we're going to talk about so much. And Dani, could you introduce yourself and tell us how you got into mental health, how you got into fire? Like, what was that journey like for you?
Yeah. So like Thomas said, I am a licensed professional counselor here in Boise, Idaho. I've been a counselor actually for 9 years, and a lot of people on the ground working in fire had no idea that I was actually a trained mental health clinician. But that is what I'm doing now with my Close the Gap wellness business as a mental health counselor, mental health educator, and really just like someone that you can call to kind of like navigate where we're going with mental health and wildland fire right now. I say that I get a lot of random phone calls every day, but it's always great to network and work with people on the outside and on the inside of different wildland fire agencies. So how I got here. So first off, I was a mental health counselor before I started fighting fire. And what a lot of people don't know is I wrapped up my private practice in Boise, Idaho at the time to start fighting fire. And the moment that it happened was kind of just an epiphany I had. I was in a session with a client, and I realized the whole time I was pretty much looking out the window as the client was just looking at the ground, you know. And I realized I kept taking glimpses out the window, and I just really wanted to be out there. I wanted to be outside. My husband at the time was working at NFSI and was actually on a fire assignment, I believe, at Glacier National Park, and had sent me a picture earlier that day of him on a helicopter flying in a weather station. And I just realized I really was too young to be put into an office and not doing something that I was super passionate about, which is taking care of the environment and taking care of our communities. So I decided to wrap up my practice in 1 month, start applying for jobs on USA Jobs, and got a position with BLM Nevada, and moved and started up on an engine. And that's kind of all she wrote. I thought I would only do it for one fire season. I thought that I would end up using this government experience to go be a clinician at the VA at the Boise Hospital here, and ended up being hooked like many of us. And realized that I really liked the values and the purpose of this job, and it aligned well with my own. So as many of us say, we got hooked in fire and the claws dug deep. And then, did that for a handful of seasons, and then decided recently to go back out into mental health and help people on the outside from the inside. So.
Oh, I love that so much. Just thank you so much for what you're doing. Like your values and your purpose and your company and Mountain Mind Tricks, like we really are, you know, doing the same thing and maybe a different way or similar. It's just, it's so powerful to be here with you. So again, I just want to thank you for what you're doing and thank you for your story. Thank you for sharing. And I do want to ask you, your company's name, Close the Gap Wellness, like, and I know closing the gap is something we all hear about, you know, when we're hiking into a fire. It's something I've written about as an analogy. And I'm curious on like, what was the inspiration for Close the Gap? And like, what does that mean to you?
Yeah. So Close the Gap for me was always something that I was trying to do when I was out in the fire line around mental health and really trying to connect people to resources, trying to educate people on the ground that I saw suffering. To getting help when they need it and trying to create them to be their own advocate. So Close the Gap was really just to fill the void that I've seen, or the Swiss cheese, fill the Swiss cheese in those holes with resources, clinicians out there that can help, different kinds of therapies that can help, different kind of holistic approaches that can help. So Close the Gap for me was bigger than me, and it still is. It's about the community and wildland fire and how we show up for one another and closing the gap around mental health and getting everyone services that need it, even prevention as well. Also, I will give a shout out to Anchor Point Podcast, Brandon. I had lots of conversations with Brandon over the years. Used to fight fire with him in BLM Nevada together. We had a great time. I remember when he started his podcast and us having that discussion. So it was really great. Brandon reached out to me and I could not think of a name. I was really struggling with the name, and he dropped that name on me, and immediately I was like, that's it. I mean, that's it. Because that's something, even like you said, Thomas, that we talk about all the time, almost like an analogy. And that's how we want to help people. We want to close that gap and help.
Oh, I love that so much. Yeah, shout out to Anchor Point. He, such an amazing podcast. And yeah, I love Brandon. Good dude. And such a supporter of us over here at the Conscious Fire Culture and the Wild and Wellness Foundation, all the stuff that's going on. And yeah. So, gosh, closing the gap. I love this, connecting people with resources. And this is so powerful, because I think I kind of want to just dive right into it, of like the gap, where it's showing up, you know, and I guess I've never gone through EAP personally, but mm-hmm. I hear so much. I hear just so many people I talk to, so many clients that I work with are, you know, there's an EAP thing where, yeah, I went to 6 sessions and I don't really know. It was kind of weird, you know? Mm-hmm. And I guess, is that part of it too? Like this gap of what's going on with EAP and how it's maybe not serving us the best?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, you know, I'm in the middle with EAP, and why is because I've used EAP and it's worked for me. And the first thing I always tell people when I talk about EAP, because I did a lot of critical incident stress management teamwork out on the ground. So I did a lot of bridging the gap, right? A lot of closing the gap out in the field with mental health and trying to get people like resources. To me, the employee assistance program for the Forest Service, BLM, a lot of the federal agencies, that is literally a 6 session free thing, but that's for short-term counseling, and many of us need long-term. So 6 sessions, I mean, usually the first couple, it's just meeting the individual. So to me, how we bridge the gap with mental health and use EAP to be effective is, number one, you know, it's a short-term thing, but you're going to be bridging to your private insurance or private pay. So you use those 6 free sessions because you don't have a copay and someone else is paying for those 6 sessions. And then you bridge into using, you know, let's say my insurance, I have Blue Cross. So I would bridge into using my Blue Cross to continue care with the same clinician if I like that clinician. So the employee assistance program, I really think if you can make it work for yourself, and you can be an advocate to make sure you're getting the right clinician, it will work for you. But we do not necessarily teach people how to use the employee assistance program, which I think is where the breakdown is happening, where the holes in the Swiss cheese is happening. We have a website, lots of websites about employee assistance programs, but I mean, is the website really walking you through the steps, the questions to ask a clinician, and what kind of services you are looking for? Because if you blindly called, you know, Thomas and Ann, if you guys blindly called EAP, they could put you with a couples counselor and you may not even be with in a relationship, but you didn't know what to ask and you didn't know what kind of services you needed. So the individual on the other end of that phone, you know, like a caseworker, they don't know who to pair you with because you don't even know what services you need. So I always tell people, you really have to be your own advocate and do some research on what kind of help you're looking for.
So powerful to take that ownership, right? And mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's so important. So I'm curious, with you being in Boise, are you do you interact with the foundation over there, the Wildland Firefighter Foundation, much? Like, do you work with them? I'm just gonna be straight up, are you one of the clinicians on call? Like, is that something people have access to through them, or what's that like?
So many people don't know, I actually left the Forest Service like less than a month ago. So I'm still like in my transition out of like, okay, now I'm starting a business on the outside. I will say I am not an on-call necessarily clinician, but I do know Burke and I do need to do way better at driving 10 minutes down the road to the Wildland Firefighter Foundation because, you know, when I was inside, we use them often with SISM and trying to bridge care if, you know, we necessarily couldn't do more on the inside of an agency, one of the federal land agencies. We would try and bridge care with the foundation so that they could help with families and firefighters with services that, you know, maybe the agency could not cover. So do I think that what they do is amazing and powerful? Heck yeah. I've seen it. You know, I've seen it. I've talked to Burke about it. The last time I talked to Burke, I was at a fundraiser a couple months ago for the foundation with Kevin after his, you know, bike ride across the country in support of mental health and wildland fire, which was so awesome with a bunch of people at the Pay Up Brewing in Boise. So I do need to connect with him again. But once again, as you guys know, trying to start a business is kind of all encompassing right now. But today I was awarded my Aspire EAP contract. Let me tell you, getting on insurance is months process. So that was a huge win. I just saw in my inbox before I got on this podcast.
Yeah, that's so beautiful. I'm so happy for you. That is so amazing. And yeah, that's great. People can use EAP and work with you. That's so powerful. So Yeah, the foundation, like I just want to shout out to the foundation too, because, you know, we have this scholarship program that's worked a couple times for folks that want to do breakthrough sessions with me or Anne. And, You know, if they really don't have the money, but they're committed to the process, you know, we have had the foundation come in and pay for their alternative therapy. And it's just a wonderful process. And it's just like, thank you, Burke. Thank you to the foundation, because, you know, the breakthrough sessions are so powerful and so important to the work me and Anne do. And so foundation is, like you said, I've gone through the fatality stuff in my career. I've seen What they do. It's just what they do for the families and everything they're doing there. It's needed every day. I'm sure they're going through everything every single day. So much appreciated. I do want to shift a little bit here and ask you about, like, I would love to dig a little bit deeper into SISM and get like your professional opinion on that. And really, I'll just be straight up. Like, I've never been through a SISM. I don't know what it is really. It's, you know, I have an idea of it, right? But I would love to hear more, like, how does the SISM work?
So SISM is interesting, right? And a lot of people know me out in the field or have seen me because I do, I did and will still respond to a lot of SISM, you know, incidents. But oftentimes people think of, you know, critical incident stress management. So when I say that, I'm referring to SISM. When people hear of SISM, they usually compare it to or think of a fatality, which is so far from the truth. SISM is utilized out in the field for so many reasons. It could be for a serious injury where people witnessed it and it was traumatizing to watch, you know, someone on their crew, or someone even in the office go down. So what, SISM does though, is really, come in after a stressful or traumatic event, right? Because not all of us cope great after. I would say the majority of us don't. But it's that soft touch right after to share resources, to talk about the facts of the incident, to, you know, do some rumor control, because as we all know, when there's a tragic event, there's a lot of rumors that get spread. So it's really, you know, making sure that everyone has the facts, that there's organization in their conscious mind of what took place, you know, even the time frame when things happened. So that people have a little bit of stress alleviation from that, because that can be stressful, right? Rumors. Also, when someone doesn't have all the facts or understanding of the event that took place, of why SISM is there, it can be highly stressful for a lot of individuals. So a SISM team comes in after a traumatic event, usually 48 to 72 hours after the event. They usually do crisis management briefings, which is really like an education push. Like I was saying, like that incident education of, hey, this is how you're going to possibly react to stress during this time. And this is normal. But this is when it's not normal. And what, you know, I always explain when I go out is, you know, there's this thing called acute stress. And a lot of us suffer from acute stress, especially after a stressful event. So we may lose sleep, right? We may be a little anxious. We may, you know, even be angry. Those are all normal. But when they're not normal is when it's happening after 30 days. And in our, you know, as a clinician, in our diagnostic statistical manual, or as we refer, the DSM-5 is what we're at right now. That manual tells us, you know, when we can diagnose like post-traumatic stress. And post-traumatic stress is after 30 days after an event. Well, a lot of us still are suffering after 30 days, especially if there's a fatality. But you have to meet all this criteria as well, besides a 30 day. But we tell people, if you're still suffering after 30 days, this is how we're going to bridge care. This is the plan. You have local resources in your area. You can always contact, you know, the CISM team that came out and see how we can help you bridge care. We explain the EAP process. I always explain how to use their private insurance to seek help. So really, CISM is bridging the gap on the ground. But obviously, not all of us are exposed to CISM. Not all of us go through necessarily traumatic events where a CISM team is necessarily needed. But all of us need care. So CISM is a really great thing in the program and a lot of the federal land agencies. And yeah, I don't know if you have any questions beyond that, but they also do debriefings. And the debriefings really is to reduce symptoms of someone ever getting post-traumatic stress with the facts, with the roles that they may have played during the event, and really just get a time frame of who was there, what happened, how they felt during that traumatic event, how they may have reacted and are still reacting, some of the symptoms that they may be suffering from, and then also educating people on the stress reactions, like I said, they may experience, and then how are they going to come back to work? How are they going to have closure from what just took place and be able to reacclimate and go back to work and still be able to be productive and still be able to work with their team? So that's what the debriefing is. And it's so powerful, Thomas and Anne, to be in a room of individuals and be able to do debriefings and crisis management briefings with, you know, large units all the way to like small homogeneous groups, like an engine of five. So
thank you so much, Danny, for really breaking down the process for me. And you know, I had some ideas, but I really wanted to, you know, honor, like, I haven't been there on the ground in one. I want to honor your experience and what that's like. And, you know, I guess for me, something I do want to bring up, and I want to get Anne's take on this too, is something, a technique that me and Anne have been using specifically around fatalities for, and this is more personal, you know, I've done this with a couple other clients too, is when there's a fatality, is going through the Ho'oponopono process. And this is super alternative, right? We're talking about a guided meditation with energy and stuff like that. But really we're asking for forgiveness from that person and speaking to this person and then really making closure in our own mind with that person and then cutting the cords, like cutting the energy. And not that we're like, anytime we think of them, that energy cord will be back. But when we cut the energy and release, you know, and just have the forgiveness inside, it really allows the grief process to be a little more natural in my experience. And I want to get Anne's take on this, because for me, I really think something like this should be at the CISM. Like, and I know this is super alternative and it's so powerful. And I just want to get Anne's take on this, like your experience with Ho'oponopono, like where could this like fit in a bigger role than, you know, just Mountain Mind Tricks on call program?
Yeah, I've actually had a personal opportunity to use it with a firefighter death before, and it was a technique that I had already known at that point, and it was super helpful for me just to recognize that like really be able to connect with that person in a meaningful way, because I did it kind of on my own and kind of in my own space, and recognize the connection we had, recognize the times that we had together, and allow that person to just energetically kind of disconnect from like causing grief. Like, we're not causing each other anything. We're very respectful of where we're at right now, and we can be sad and we can still move through that process. And just the Ho'oponopono process can take between like 7 minutes and an hour, depending on how you want to do it. So it can be very quick. And it's just, like Thomas said, an alternative style to kind of maybe incorporating into some of the other clinical, like diagnosed and practiced modalities of kind of treating grief. Grief is going to look different for everybody, which makes it very special, especially if you've had like something as big as a fatality to something just like a little injury that's bothering you because you made a decision that you're not really happy with. And just understanding that both of those work together. I've had a lot of clinical type modalities used going through grief personally and with some of my clients as well. And just recognizing that they both really have their place and that they both can be super useful in dealing with grief, and knowing that your grief probably doesn't look like your friend's just because you have completely different model of the world. Like, you see the world differently because of your past experiences.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you, Anne, so much. Thank you so much. And Danny, I wanted to just ask you, you know, more on the clinical side of, you know, what does a grief process look like for the client? Because, you know, I think from my own personal story, the grief completely derailed my entire life. Like, it went full on PTSD and really bad situation for me for a couple of years after what happened to me. And that's not normal, right? And mm-hmm. So I'm curious though, like, what does the grief process look like? Because maybe it's 6 months, maybe it's 3 months, maybe it's a couple of years. Like, how do you help people go through a grief process in the clinical side?
Yeah, and you know, there's no real answer to time frame of how someone's going to handle grief or how it's going to impact them. And what I will say is, you know, when we go through something traumatic or we have a loss and we're grieving that, even a friendship, I mean, losing a friendship, that can be very impactful. We never know how we're going to grieve and how long it's going to take for us to really move past that. And as clinicians, you know, the biggest thing that we do is we listen and support, and we understand, you know, the grief cycle and what those major players are and what they may be experiencing. But there's no real order in how we grieve. You know, you can go from accepting it, trying to move on from the grief after, let's say, 6 months of a loss, and then go right back into maybe some anger, anxiety, frustration, even a couple months later, just getting, you know, triggered by something or seeing some item of someone that you lost. It can be something simple that brings you right back into that full grief cycle. So once again, I'm a little bit where I think that some losses we have will feel for our lifetime. It's how we handle that loss and how we allow ourselves some space to grieve, and then how we seek treatment to grieve as well. And what I mean by that is, you know, a personal experience, you know, losing a loved one. When I've lost a loved one before, I still am impacted by that. Like, forever will I carry that memory of that individual? Yeah. But I want it to be a good memory that I hold, and not me go into a major depression every time I think of that individual, like a grandparent or something like that. But I do understand the grief cycle. I understand I may not have a good day sometimes, and it might be overwhelming around, you know, certain dates like their birthday. I may just be sad that day, and I just need to allow myself that space. You know, losing even friends in the wildland fire community, you know, usually around the anniversary of, you know, their death, I just give myself space that day. I understand that I probably will feel some big emotions that day, and that is normal. That is okay. So as a clinician, when I'm teaching, when someone I see is dealing with grief, I teach them about, you know, their grief cycle and what are some of the things that they're going to feel, what are some triggers they may have. But then I also talk about, how are you going to cope? Are you going to allow yourself to just have that day to feel those big emotions and understand, hey, this is part of the grief cycle. This is an anniversary of a death, and I'm just going to struggle this day. And are you going to allow yourself to permission to just feel? And I always encourage people to do that. I mean, I still do that. And I also hold it as a space to bring them up on that date necessarily. And, you know, just be like, wow, I had really good experiences with these individuals. I really miss them. I wish they were still here with me. But going back to that acceptance, you know, that I am moving on, but I'm allowing myself today to feel. I don't know if that necessarily answered, but the grief cycle for everyone is so different. And I'm sure we all have experiences where we've been grieving loved ones or people we've lost and fire even. And it can drop you to your knees sometimes, for sure.
Yeah. Oh, thank you so much for that explanation. And and yes, definitely answered the question. And something that you hit on, I want to dig a little bit deeper into the acceptance and surrender and really feeling the emotions in the body and like really accepting the feelings so we can move through it, right? Is this, I'm imagining this is exactly what you're kind of working on with your clients,
yep.
Right?
Yep, that's exactly it.
That's so important. I think this is really, you know, what we resist persists, right? And if we can allow ourselves to experience it and to really feel it and to get the lesson out of the situation, I think that's where we find the healing, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we can't avoid grief. And what happens when we avoid grief, and I'm sure you see this with individuals too, it comes out in different ways. It physically can make you even ill. Avoiding emotion, avoiding that grief, avoiding stressors that you're dealing with, maybe even at work, it can come through in really unhelpful ways. And honestly, even shut down the body, the nervous system, which is super important as well. And that's where we see grief really impacting people when they just avoid it, when they try to put the grief cycle at the back burner and avoid, you know, all the stages of grief they may be feeling and get continually dropped into. But when they're not addressing it, it will come back and it will impact them in some way.
Yep. That's exactly what happened to me. It's probably about a year later, my whole life got derailed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I want to take it over to Anne and ask her, you know, do you have any questions for Danny? Is there anything coming up for you?
I just wanted to make a comment on this last section here. And a lot of us as firefighters are really big, like problem solvers, mm-hmm. and we're very good at trying to accomplish certain goals and being really good at them. And I think a little of the problem that I have run into with some of my clients is that they really just want to like work on it really hard and then fix it and be done with it. Mm-hmm. And that's not really how any of this process works, unfortunately. It's something that, like you said, it's going to keep coming up in different ways. And the process is that you're going to have to learn techniques or coping mechanisms mm-hmm. or ways to deal with certain emotions or feelings or reactions in ways that are really healthy for you. And some of that's going to be trial and error, and some of it's going to be working with a professional and just understanding that this isn't going to be like a one and done type thing. That's not how life continues to bring people into your life. That's not the reason for them. And it's something that it is actually a very rewarding journey too, to try and figure these things out and find that you are really that resilient and can really work with some of these things, and it can open you up into some new opportunities that way as well. And one of the questions I've got for Danny, and I guess this will be for the three of us actually, is the younger you, so when you first started in fire, you first started in mental health, what was one technique or thing that you really wish you would have learned early on? Was one thing we can practically give our listeners that we would have rather have done earlier?
Man, there's so many. I think forgiveness. I think that understanding that we're all human, that we all make mistakes, and not to just cycle through those emotions of just like blaming yourself and getting down on yourself for mistakes you may have made. Instead, just focusing on forgiving yourself, being able to move forward. I mean, even a lot of the work that you two do, a lot of it is just, you know, how are you going to move forward? Well, you're going to use these techniques and then you're going to be able to move forward from that. And even in counseling, you know, it took me going to grad school to really understand all the stuff that I had under the waterline that I had not dealt with in my life. And then realizing I really need to forgive myself to move forward. And I wish my younger self would have been able to forgive myself way earlier, and move past some of the hurdles I've had in my own life.
That's beautiful. I love that answer.
Yeah.
Thomas, do you have something?
Wow. So many, like Danny said, I think something that is just to face it, like to face whatever's happening, whatever's going on internally and inside, is to face it with a curiosity and an understanding, like, I'm a human. I have this, like, this is coming up for me. I'm either, you know, I was a very angry person before getting, well, blasted with Kundalini, but, and subsequent things like that. But my life was a mess. And the anger was overpowering my life in a lot of different ways. And I could never face that. I could never face that until later. And I wish I would have done that before, because you know, I thought that anger was a motivator. That was my big thing. Like, well, if I'm angry, I can hike faster. If I'm angry, I can cut trees better. Like, no. Totally backwards. I need to face the anger and let that shit go so I can be a better person. And I think that's the lesson I wish I would have done sooner.
So the last couple of years, I had to quit coffee because coffee was like this liquid shot of anxiety for me. Like, my heart would race, I could focus intently, but only for a couple hours, and I would crash super hard, and my sleep was so off. I mean, I would be wandering the universe until, I don't know, 3 a.m. before I finally got to sleep, and then I had to get back at it at 6 or 7 a.m. and I was groggy, I was tired. It just wasn't working for me. It's not that I was mad at coffee, I was just really disappointed. And so I ended up quitting coffee. And I've been searching for an alternative for a long time. And that's when I came across Mudwater. Mudwater is this amazing, amazing tea. It's got masala chai in it. It's got cacao, lion's mane, cordyceps, chaga, reishi, cinnamon, turmeric, and Himalayan sea salt. And what's so amazing is that you feel the same energy, that same burst that you get from coffee, but it sustains all day. There's no crash, there's no headache, there's no dehydration. It's just this beautiful experience. And so yeah, I'm gonna say it, fuck your coffee. You gotta switch over to Mudwater, because Mudwater will change your life. There's immune boosting properties, helps you focus with the lion's mane. There's 1/7 of the caffeine compared to coffee, and so there's no jitters, there's no anxiety. It's just this beautiful experience with beautiful plants. So fuck your coffee. So if you want to try out Mudwater, I want you to go to mountainmindtricks.com/mudwater, or go to the shop and click on the button. Again, that's mountainmindtricks.com/mudwater. So one of my favorite things about the Mudwater company is that they donate a percentage of their profits to the MAPS Institute. It's an organization that develops medical, legal, and cultural context for people to benefit from the careful uses of psychedelics. So the, you know, MDMA psychedelic assisted therapy phase 3 trials, this is MAPS. And that's so important because there's been some amazing breakthroughs in the research with veterans and PTSD and depression and all sorts of amazing things that they're doing. It's so important to support this company.
I think the one for me is being able to trust somebody. And it can just be one person, and it can just be with like one little thing if you need it to be. But just trusting someone enough to share even just the smallest bit, like, I'm having a problem here, or this is really bothering me, or something I need help with was a big thing for me. I was like, I don't need help. I freaking got this. You guys go away. Just being open enough to ask for help, to say that something is wrong, because number one, it's going to get fixed a lot faster. Number two, that person's going to build some trust in you as well, and that relationship can then build. And three, just kind of like solving your own problems by learning how to do these things that we probably aren't very good at as firefighters, that we just figure out, I'll figure this out on my own, I'm good, whatever. And then that kind of wears on us a little too much. And a bonus is the person that you ask for help, it actually makes them feel good too.
Mm-hmm.
So just learning to ask and learning to trust people with even just a little bit of information.
Wow. What an amazing question, Anne. Thank you. Like, that really made me like get really reflective, and I think there's some power in all three of our answers. So, so important. And I do want to shift gears a little bit, and I want to ask Danny, you know, when we spoke over the phone, we talked about like, well, you know, me and Anne are like really alternative, right? I think we're on a spectrum, and like, and we talked about like, well, what are some other stuff you do like in junction or adding to your therapy practice? We started talking about like gut health and things like that. And I would love to just open that up a little bit and kind of talk like the therapeutic, like the CBT, and I don't know what techniques you use. I'm not a clinician, right? Mm-hmm. But those things on top of other things that we can do, like I would love to open that up. And what are some of the most important things, you know, maybe physical health or maybe a little bit more alternative things that you guide clients through?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So once again, I'm on a spectrum myself. I truly think there's this full like clinical side, diagnose, medicate, and then like do talk therapy in conjunction with medication. And I feel like that's like on the full other spectrum. You know, that's what insurance a lot of the time covers, right? And then you've got the other side of the spectrum where I love the more the holistic approaches, right? And what I had to do is do a lot of the holistic work to see if I would suggest it to another client. Would I suggest this to another person? Has it worked for me? Was it helpful in me, you know, striving to have, you know, be well, have good mental health and take care of my mental health continuously? Because I look at mental health, this is a journey for life. I will always be striving for better mental health because I think that we always have room for improvement. So some of the things I know, you know, when we talked, Thomas, is some of the things that really help me and what I refer a lot of people to is seeking help with a naturopath, figuring out even all the way down to, you know, having blood work done. Where are their vitamin deficiencies? Where are, you know, your insides possibly struggling? And what kind of vitamins can you get on? What kind of alternative medications can you get on? You know, plant medicine. That really was also a game changer for me. I have a guy here in Boise, Dr. Noah Edvilson. He completely changed my gut health, which then in turn changed how I felt, my mood, and improved me for the better. And that was after my very first fire season where I saw a drastic change for the worse in my mental health and realized this is kind of internal. This isn't just on the exterior. I need to be doing a better job taking care of my inside. So that's really where, you know, Thomas, when I was talking about a naturopath, that I really started working on what's happening on my inside. Where am I overloaded with toxins? How can I help reduce my toxic load inside my internal body that's probably impacting my overall health? But I would not have recommended that if I didn't try it myself. And I have like a whole list of other alternative cares that I've done or I refer. And I don't know if you want me to kind of just walk down those. I'm more than happy to.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think kind of, you know, just to kind of give you an idea where I want to go with this is, you know, EAP from Washington office actually called me a couple months ago and was like, what are you doing? This is really cool. And I was like, well, yeah, let's have a conversation. And one of the things that I told them is like, look, what you're doing is not working exactly right for people right now. And we talked about that and we all have our own opinions, right? And I'm open to that. But I told her, you know, I think what would be the most important thing you could do is open up an EAP, like a 6-session thing for acupuncture. Mm-hmm. And she was like, whoa, that's way too woo-woo. I don't know about that. And I was like, well, that's like step one. And I'm going to 100 here because we're going to talk about some way deeper stuff here that's way, way more alternative. That's like the most medical, clinical, studied alternative health thing out there. Mm-hmm. It works every time.
It does.
Every time. And so I'm curious, like we're going to go a little bit deeper than that, but I'm curious, like that's kind of where I'm going is like the acupuncture, maybe the Reiki, the massage, like anything that you've used, I would love to just have a discussion about this, because I think it's, like you said, I'm on board. The clinical stuff is so important. The mm-hmm. medical doctors is so important, and our mind, body, spirit.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And yeah, so now that I kind of know the outline, yeah, for sure. So what I've done for even myself and what I always recommend for other people, number one, acupuncture. I've used acupuncture all the way from having more gentle labor with having two children, all the way to inducing my labor, to taking care of pain during fire season, and then also for my mood, hormones, all those things, right? Acupuncture is everything. And I'm fortunate enough to be here in Boise where we have a co-op where it's on a sliding scale and it's a lot more affordable. So I always recommend people seek out acupuncture. Is it covered by insurance? Not usually, but it's worth it. It's a great alternative, holistic approach, but it is one of the most studied holistic approaches, and it is effective. The other thing I love, and I've talked about this with you, Thomas, is red light therapy. I have red lights at my house and a pad specifically with a bunch of red lights. What it helps with is seasonal depression, brain disorders, healing and pain, athletic performance. So like, right, and fire, like we always want to perform at our best. Red light therapy was a game changer for me. Another thing that I've tried, because once again, I will not refer services unless I've probably tried them out, because I don't know. Hypnotherapy. I was introduced to hypnotherapy and did like a trade in services with a hypnosis session I was able to attend. And it was amazing. I felt completely relaxed. It induced like a trance-like state to really focus my mind and really process some of the things that were like deeper than the surface level. So I recommend hypnotherapy. I think that that's a great alternative care as well. But once again, if I haven't tried it, I'm not going to recommend it. And I've tried this. The other thing that I do regularly once a month, and it's just kind of like I've been a game changer in my health overall, is body work. Obviously, I'm a little biased because I've been doing it for so long with the same therapist, but having a massage therapist that understands your entire body and your overall health and looks at body work as a way to treat anxiety and depression, reduce your stress load, it was huge for me. Even fighting fire, you know, I would schedule on my 2 days off with her ahead of time. I'd leave two weeks and I'd be like, hey, these are going to be my 2 days off. And I would make sure I would come home and I would see, her name's Mare here in Boise. I'd come see Mare, and I've been seeing Mare since I was, I think, 20. So we've had a long go together. So she understands my body. I joke sometimes more than I probably understand my own physical body. Another person I got to meet here recently, at a conference, actually for, I believe it was LA County Fire Chiefs. One of my best friends, Dr. Minda Oz, she's a psychologist, and does a lot of work with first responders. She's amazing. She brought me along, to this conference with fire chiefs for structure fire. And I got to meet Kendall Ann Yoga. That's what her handle is on Instagram. And she is a therapeutic yoga, like therapist. And she works with first responders like Cal Fire. She works with some federal, but she works with first responders and does yoga therapy sessions with them. And I truly believe in her work, and I truly believe in movement as a way of healing. So I feel like I'm on the full spectrum, Thomas and Ann, on, hey, if talk therapy is not working, if only working with a clinician is not working, I think you should also seek additional help, because I do. So it wouldn't make sense for me not to seek and tell people to seek additional ways to heal themselves, you know, with other alternative care. I am a CBT mainly therapist. My goal is to get my brain spotting education done here soon. And that kind of, a lot of people are like, oh, that's kind of like woo-woo, but I've seen it be effective. And so once again, if I've seen it, I've watched people like it change them, and their experience and their way to process trauma and grief, I'm going to recommend it. And I'm hopefully going to attend those trainings in the fall. Summer's a little too busy for me with fire, but brain spotting is when you really locate points in the client's like visual field that help them access unprocessed trauma in their subcortical brain, you know? And what I mean by that is they're really able to focus on what's going on in their visual field so that they can bring up that unresolved trauma and work through that with a therapist that's trained in that. So I saw that happen this last summer on a fire assignment with a therapist on the field. And I was just like, this is a game changer. It's just like, it reminds me of EMDR, but definitely something that I would use with clients. And some people would say it's a little woo-woo. But I definitely think that as therapists, we need to kind of be on that spectrum of care, because if talk therapy isn't working or they maybe need something additional, we should be recommending that and referring. So.
Oh, thank you so much, Danny. Wow, Joey, like, I'm so happy you're open to everything. That's so amazing. Like, I'm so, so happy. And, because, you know, some clinicians aren't. Mm-hmm. And so I really want to honor that in you, and that, because, you know, for me and Anne, you know, what we do is one, it's alternative therapy. It's totally different, totally mm-hmm. different approach. But what you're saying is I really want to resonate here is that, you know, almost, I would say 90% of the time, you know, after our sessions, I give the client homework. Yes, we're going to follow up. We're going to start the coaching program. Like, here's the things. But in the homework specifically is you need to build a team. You need mm-hmm. to build a team of acupuncture, of a therapist, of a medical doctor, a naturopathic, whatever mm-hmm. you want to do, but you need a team. And I think that idea of building your team, like you just gave us your whole team, is like amazing, right? Massage and acupuncture and all the things that you're doing for yourself, like, oh, it's so powerful. And I did want to resonate on the brain spotting. You know, I've personally never done that. Mm-hmm. I am totally open to it. And I think EMDR, I'm a little bit, I don't know if I like that technique, but mm-hmm. the brain spotting is really cool. And I've always thought we do, you know, me and Anne have a technique for processing trauma. And basically, you know, not to get super technical, but you're watching the movie forward and backwards, and we're kind of like scrambling the movie up and releasing and like taking the energy out of the trauma. And what's interesting is with the brain spotting and this technique, I'm imagining the eyes are probably doing the same exact thing. Mm-hmm. And so it's that technique, I've seen it work on some really big trauma really, really well. And yeah, in the brain spotting, like you said, it is a game changer. It's a total mm-hmm. game changer. And I'm curious what the brain spotting is. There is the client going into the memory, like really getting associated into the trauma and then doing the brain spotting, like very similar to EMDR, or is that a little bit different too?
You know, they're all a little bit different. And once again, like, I don't want to speak too deeply on brain spotting only because I'm not trained in it. So I can tell you what I know. But once again, I definitely think like if it's something that resonates with you, do your research and find a clinician that does do it. Like if you're thinking like this is a technique I want to see or I want to do, then yeah. And like you said with EMDR, you know, something that resonates with me and it makes me laugh. There's humor behind the whole EMDR, and not that it's not effective. I do think it is effective, but I'm laughing because when I was in graduate school, EMDR was just really like coming to the surface as an evidence-based, you know, we're all about evidence-based treatments. That's what insurance companies will pay for, right? If it's not science-based, insurance companies will not pay for that. So what we did was I remember I had professors who were like, oh yeah, like, you know, we're not going to cover this theory or this kind of treatment because it's one of those frou-frou ones where we're really not ever going to, it's almost like a fad diet, right? It was going to be a fad therapy. And once again, now years later, I'm laughing because I'm like, do you know how many trauma trained clinicians use EMDR?
Yeah, a lot. It's everywhere. It's everywhere. Yeah, it's
everywhere. And now it's probably taught in grad school, right? And I graduated in 2013. And I laugh because it's like, once again, therapies change so often. New theories come out all the time as we learn more and more about our brain. Just like this brain spotting. I learned about it, I think it was like 2 years ago. I was listening to a podcast of a trauma trained clinician on my way actually to a CISM assignment and just getting him the mindset, you know, to do some trauma work. And I was like, oh my gosh, what is this brain spotting thing? And really started doing some research. Now it's a pretty penny to do any kind of training, but with brain spotting in EMDR specifically, it's pricey. As a clinician to become like certified in those. But I really look at brain spotting as it's effective for a wide variety of like emotional and somatic conditions. And it's particularly effective bringing up that trauma, bringing up those trauma-based situations, and then really helping identify and heal that underlying trauma that contributes to so many of the mental health struggles we see, like anxiety, depression, post-traumatic stress in the FIRE community. And that's why I recommend and would seek out, if you are dealing with those, to look into brain spotting and EMDR. But once again, I still feel like I'm not completely trained in that. So I don't necessarily want to be like, okay, this is the whole process and this is how I would use it in therapy. Maybe when I come back on the show in the fall, and I'm fully trained, I will walk through the whole, you know, the whole time on a podcast. This is what it's like. And I would love to do that.
Yeah, that'd be amazing. That'd be amazing. I do want to go over to Anne here and ask her if she has any thoughts on this. And also, I do want to open it up between me and Anne a little bit on just, I do want to resonate with the mental emotion release technique that we use.
Mm-hmm.
There was two clinical studies done and the results were, I mean, like astonishing. Like it's astonishing, but there's only two. Right. And so there's not a lot of like in the clinical world, like, well, that's not really real then. Right. And so I do want to jam with Anne a little bit and just get her take on kind of what we're talking about on the, and Anne's done so much trauma work. It's like, you're the specialist in the company on trauma stuff because you've been through it all, right?
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. yes, I am a trauma-informed care specialist and practitioner. I just wanted to kind of tie in a couple points too, as far as like, we won't ever recommend modalities that we haven't done or verified ourselves. Mm-hmm. I am also a very big... I push hypnotherapy a lot because I work with an advanced clinical hypnotherapist myself. That was kind of what got me interested. Thomas and I are both certified in hypnotherapy. It's something that I think has provided probably like the most benefit overall for myself personally. It doesn't work for everybody though. It's one of those things that you have to try something, like we said, holistically. You really need to figure out what works for you, and it's not always going to be the same thing that works for us. So try something that you may think is a little bit different and just see what it's like. Does it help you in a certain way? Do you find maybe some other connections with a clinician or a practitioner that really helps you out? And just understanding that they have their own experiences, but it's up to you to kind of decide what is right for you and where you kind of want to take that. And a lot of it just opens it up into conversation. What does this kind of modality look like? What can this do for you? What can't this do for you? How does this help me? How does this kind of build a relationship between you and either a clinician or a practitioner on, I'm a big person on, like, you have to interview your therapist to make sure that they're a good fit for both of you. Like, it's a business transaction a little bit, but it needs to be beneficial on both ends. So you get to do interviews and you get to figure it out if it works. And it's in the end all about how you're going to progress, and whoever fits that bill for you could be very different. So please ask around when you start shopping, whether it's under insurance or EAP or however it goes. Like, we didn't really want the marriage and family therapist to help me with my trauma issues.
Exactly.
So trauma-based stuff can be a little bit difficult because it's a little bit like grief in that everyone deals with trauma differently. My definition of trauma is simply just an emotional reaction to an event that then interferes with your like everyday or safety mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
And that definition varies between clinicians and practitioners a little bit, but understanding that there are so many different ways to kind of tackle it. And the modality that Thomas and I are very skilled in practice with is called mental and emotional release. And it's a timeline-based therapy. That's a technique that I really enjoy using because it doesn't have to associate a client like we talked about earlier, which basically means that you don't have to dive so deep into that memory that you start to feel every little feeling and get really stuck in there and then not know what to do with all of that. So it allows us to kind of, like Thomas said, with the movie, a little bit watch this situation from afar and kind of study and tell your unconscious mind, like, what is there to learn from this event that I was too overwhelmed to learn at the time, and try and work with it that way. And like Thomas had said, too, there's been a couple of really incredible studies, and we're trying to create more just to show how valuable this therapy is. But there's things that work and there's things that don't work. Sometimes mental and emotional work release will work for everyone, and sometimes it won't. Trauma is very special in that the same instance may not be traumatic for one person as it is for another. Like I said, it's just an emotional reaction at some point, and some of that depends on what you have resource-wise and like how you've dealt with situations in the past as well.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Anne, so much. And Danny, please, if there's anything you want to comment on anything that me and Anne were just talking about, please, please do. And you know, I do want to ask you a question. One thing I want to make sure we hit on is, like, how do the wildland firefighters find mental health, and like, what's that process like? And I think, like you said, closing the gap of how do we do that? Like, what's the best process? And what's that like?
I really think identifying first what you're dealing with, you know, what kind of symptoms are you suffering from? What kind of team are you going to need? Do you need to go to your normal doctor first and figure out maybe your blood work? Maybe you're deficient in a vitamin. Maybe there's something going on physically, some kind of pain, right? Because pain can bring up a lot of emotions. So if you're suffering from pain, you may need to address that pain to get help. So first off, identifying what's going on. I always recommend going to your like normal family doctor to make sure that you have blood work done and see if there's deficiencies, or a naturopath. And then the other thing is, when seeking help, understanding if you want therapy, what are you hoping to get out of it? Really having some objectives, just like we do in fire, right? We set objectives for the incident. This is our goal, you know, to keep the fire out of this specific community, to put line here to secure that community, et cetera. Set objectives like you would in fire. Treat it just like you would in fire. You know, you wouldn't show up to an incident and just be like, oh, you know, like maybe we'll put the fire out today. No, you show up and you make a plan on how you're going to do it. And you look at all the resources around you and you get to work. Well, the same thing with your mental health. Make a plan, call people, get people on your team, on your incident of what you're facing, and get after it. Be your own advocate. I will not ever say enough. You have to be your own advocate. No one else is going to know what's going on with you internally. It's you. You're going to know. So seek out help. How to do that? I mean, once again, this is EAP. You can call your EAP number. You can also use your own private insurance, or you can find a trauma trained clinician in your area. And how you do that, truly, I'm going to be honest. I mean, the best thing I've ever done and how I found clinicians is really just Google, look up Psychology Today. But also don't veer away from alternative care. If you're into getting alternative care and you think that it's going to be helpful to have those players on your team, just like an incident, you know, you have a spectrum of different professionals out there. Same thing with your own body. You need to have a full team to help you get to, you know, mind, body, and spirit all being in check. So making sure to reach out to the right players by knowing what's going on. That's probably my biggest advice. And how you do that is going to be different for every person. Like if I was suffering from trauma, I would be looking for a trauma-trained clinician that I do actually have here in Boise. She's fantastic. She's a psychologist that has experience with first responders. That's what I'm going to be looking for. And I, quite frankly, got super lucky using EAP by knowing what to ask for. I called and requested that, a trauma-trained clinician that has experience with first responders. They paired me with this psychologist in my local area. I've worked with her for 2 years. I go once a month, and it's literally a wellness check for me. That's how I look at it. I check in every month because I get exposed to secondary trauma and stress all day. You know, I hear other people's stuff. And so do we all, you know, in the field, we get exposed. So I think all of us need to be doing a better job at making that team ahead of time before we need it. And as things come up, reaching out to our toolkit and our people and getting the help we need, whether that be our mind, our body, or our spirit. So I really think that it's going to be different every time, Thomas, on what you need, but building that team before you need it, because I can tell you what, and Anne, probably from your own experience too, when you're in your low, it's really hard to find care for yourself.
Yeah, so true. Wow. Thank you so much. So really, I just want to break this down for my own processing is like really identifying the problem, doing some blood work. So looking at the physical body, then setting an intention or objective, like you said, making a plan, building a team, and then really like follow the process, like get after it, like let's go, kind of mentality, right? In a gentle way. So that's so beautiful. Thank you so much for that strategy on like, how do we close the gap? This is the, like for everybody listening, like this is the, like she said, it's going to look different, but this is the process. This is the main steps to follow, is to identify, get some blood work, set an intention, make a plan, and build a team and follow the process. And like, thank you. That's so beautiful. So beautiful. And you know, Danny, I think we've built enough rapport now. I'm going to ask the question I really want to ask you. Okay. And please, you don't have to answer this at all. You can if you want to, and I understand it's very taboo, right, as a clinician. But I do want to hear your professional opinion on the studies coming out of Johns Hopkins and the psilocybin and the MDMA stuff that's going on with the veterans and the phase 3 trials with MAPS, and like, because some of the results that they're getting are pretty astonishing. And like, I do want to get your professional clinical opinion on that stuff.
You know, and I'm not necessarily like in the full loop of the Johns Hopkins specifically, like what research is coming out. But I will say that there's a lot of research coming out around veterans and treatment modalities and alternative care. And I am completely on board with that. And why? Is because I've seen it work for my dad. My dad has been doing like experimental, different kinds of like alternative care at the VA in Kansas, where my parents have a farm. And my dad suffers greatly from PTSD, from being in the military. He's retired Air Force. Shout out to my vets. I'm also married to a disabled vet. So I truly believe in the alternative care that is coming out. Do I necessarily know specifically what you're referring to? The study, I have not read it, so I don't really know or really want to speak too deeply in on it. But I have seen alternative care work for my own dad. So,
wow, that's so powerful. Thank you for sharing that. And yeah, I think some of those studies, you know, specifically with PTSD and the veterans have been pretty astounding. And there's a lot of hope in the veteran community. And like you said, shout out to the veterans and everything they've done for us. I'm hoping, you know, of course, with the stuff going on in Oregon and other states, like I think there's room for this to grow in a good way. That's therapeutic, that's safe, that's, you know, is honored. And it's just, it's really powerful. It's a powerful modality that's emerging. And I think we're all witnessing something that could be very transformative for the wildland fire community as well, because we know PTSD, suicide, these kinds of things are very prevalent in our community, right?
Yeah, and I really do believe anything that works for you, it's worth taking that jump. And if alternative care works for you, or you know, the research that's coming out with Johns Hopkins, if you're in some of their studies, especially as vets, and it's working, that's amazing. And I hope you share that with other people, your experience. And it would be so cool, Thomas and Anne, to have someone on the show that maybe has been in some of those research studies, like vets, especially if they're in wildland fire. How cool would that be? To hear from their own personal experience. So
yeah, that would be amazing. We should definitely find, there's got to be somebody out there that's totally a veteran in the program. So, oh my gosh. So Danny, is there any question I haven't asked you or something you want to elaborate on? Is there anything that we haven't hit on that you want to?
No, you know, I just always like to say to people, I just spoke to fire leadership 2 days ago in Utah, and I always say, seek help before you need it. Make a team of people that you trust to help you when you're at your worst, before you need it. Make sure you have a really good support system. Surround yourself with people that you can lean on when you really need it, and when you don't. Don't forget, you know, we tell people often, hey, reach out when you need something, reach out if you want to chat. Man, reach in, you know, just check on people. You know, we talk about battle buddies, even in the military, you know, there's research around having a battle buddy. It's like, have lots of battle buddies. Be willing to reach in, even if you don't think that they're struggling, because there's power in peer-to-peers. There's power in having someone that is just a good listening ear. And there's power in all these different kinds of care, you know, from the more holistic approach to, you know, counseling with talk therapy or working with a psychiatrist for medication management. I believe in all of it. And whatever works for you, seek it out, you know, own it, get help. And then also, if you're willing to share your story, please share with those people around you, because we learn from storytelling. We learn from each other. And if there's something that's working for you and you see your buddy struggling, share. If you feel comfortable, please do.
So powerful. Thank you. Thank you so much, Danny. And do you have anything before we kind of start wrapping up? Is there any questions you didn't get to ask or anything that you want to elaborate on?
I just wanted to tie in a little bit on just the holistic aspect of your whole being. Is very important, because if your knee hurts, you know, it's only a little part of you. You can probably still dig if your knee hurts, but it's still something that is going to bother you as you keep hiking. It's going to degrade your whole body and your spirit at that point. So if you can kind of, like we said, that spiritual, that mental, that physical health team, get somebody on every level and really find out what's working for you and what's not. And having that ready beforehand, you can deal with the bum knee. You can deal with the thing that's starting to really bother you mentally, and having those connections beforehand really will make a huge difference for you going into the fire season or going into off season or into a new relationship, whatever your idea might be. And just the communication part, we really do learn by storytelling. So if you want to share your story with one of us, we are always available to chit chat through social medias. If you want to share with your peers, you're actually going to encourage them that way to really do the good work themselves too. It's inspiring and powerful that way. So please enjoy and share.
I love it. I love it. I love it, Anne. Thank you so much. So Danny, where can people find you? You know, I know you're all over Instagram in the Wildland Fire community. Is there anything else that you want to share? Is there other links or places people can find you?
Yeah, so if you go to my Instagram, Close the Gap Wellness, you'll be able to find me. And then I also have a link tree posted. I have, you know, a LinkedIn. You just need to type in my name, Danny Shedden, and you'll be able to find me. And then I also have a website, closethegapwellness.com. I'm continually still building on that. I honestly just have not had the time, and that is not my skill set. And I always say, hire what's not in your skill set. So I'm working on that right now. But I have that already out. And that also has my email address and how to reach me if you need any help or if you need mental health education on your unit. I'm so open to do that. And that's what I've been doing a lot in this preseason timeframe, is talking to forests, talking to, you know, fire units, crews, and doing like a mental health education push preseason, and then doing closeouts at the end of the season. That's really where my passion is. and then also seeing people one-on-one. I will say I'm still getting on insurance panels, so that is not really an option right now unless you want to do private pay, which I'm always okay with, but I don't necessarily expect it. Use your insurance if you have it, for sure. So I'm thinking in the next like 2 to 3 months, I'll probably be full running as an individual counselor here in Boise, Idaho for wildland firefighters. So
yeah, so awesome. So I'm so excited for your business just exploding with abundance. I see it already. And I'm curious, I'm going to ask you this last question before we wrap up, but I'm curious, is there a book coming?
Oh man. Oh, I would love to write a book. I really want to. I will see where that takes me. I'm doing a lot of exploration on even just like curriculum right now. So if that leads me to eventually writing a book, I'm going to lean in on it. I truly am one of those people that's a little frou-frou myself. And I'm like, I trust the universe. And if it's guiding me in that direction for a book, I'm going to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. So awesome. I love that answer. Well, thank you so much, Danny, for such a powerful, for so much, like just sharing everything and who you are, and just thank you for being part of the community and for what you're doing. And I just feel blessed to call you a friend and to have you here on the podcast. It's such a blessing to have you here. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Anne, for being here during your travels and making time for us. And for everybody listening, please reach out to Close the Gap Wellness, because an amazing clinician here that can help you in whatever you need. So check out the websites. The links will be in the show notes, and check out the link tree, see what Danny has to offer you, and go get it. And we'll all see you on the next one. Ahui ho.
Thank you.
I want to guide you through natural wellness and holistic medicine, which means using products like essential oils, essential vibes, glutathione mouthwashes, or even reading books. There's so many products out there that can help us. Supplements, essential oils. There's so many things about the doTERRA lines of essential oils that I use every day, like lemon to detox my body and help me hydrate, like On Guard to give me that extra edge in my immune system with the pandemic going, Balance to keep me grounded and moving forward in my life. I use the oils every single day, morning, afternoon, night. One of the biggest things they help me with is sleep. I sleep so well because I'll lay on the lavender, I'll lay on the Balance, I'll feel so grounded and sleepy, and it's lights out. And I know the wildland fire community just struggles so much with sleep, really the lack of it, right? On top of that, there's books. I've written 3 major books for the wildland fire community, and I want you to try them out, give them a read, get the ebook, get the paperback, whatever suits you. But there's Overcoming Anxiety Like a Hero, really teaches you how to get into a flow state. Awakened by Heart Fire is really the spiritual aspects of wildland fire, and the Heart Fire Anthology, the guided meditations, the Heart Fire Method will completely change your life. And of course, 6 Minutes for Excellence, that is a guidebook for wildland firefighter excellence, peak performance, mindset, all those things. So go to mountainmindtricks.com, check out the store, check out essential oils, essential vibes, go to the publishing tab, check out the books. Natural wellness is all about taking one step today that makes us 1% better. 1% better today, 1% better tomorrow, and 1% better the next day and the next day. One little habit adds up to moving an entire mountain with our health. That's what I want to guide you through. The essential oils, essential vibes, books, supplements, whatever you need, I'm here for you. So just go ahead and go to mountainmindtricks.com and click on the shop and go to essential oils, essential vibes, or go to the publishing tab and check out the books we've got.